Get news updates all day, every day at WADK.com. It's the Open Forum on 1540 WADK. Call 846-1028, 846-1028. Now, the Open Forum on 1540 WADK.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Open Forum. My name is Frank Prosens, and joining me today is one of 347 candidates for governor in Rhode Island. I think if you're not a candidate for governor in Rhode Island, then you are the exception. Paul Roselli. Actually, only one of three Democrats running. Oh, actually, only one of two Democrats declared.
I'm laughing, so I can't. It's quite a field. That's all I can say.
Three Democrats: Paul Roselli, Spencer Dickinson, and we expect Governor Raimondo, who's probably got $5 million in the bank to run this her campaign, is also going to announce. We have three Republicans, and we have two Independents. And we have one former governor, former senator, sitting in the wings, wondering whether or not he's going to enter the race.
Yeah, not sure about Senator, Governor, Mayor Chafee yet, but we'll find out.
If that happens, that will be nine. Good enough for Rhode Island to have its own baseball team. Oh, wait, we do have one in Pawtucket, but we'll talk about that later, whether we still have one in Pawtucket. Paul, why don't you start off by just talking a little bit about who you are?
Sure. Well, thank you, Frank, and thank you for allowing me to come to Newport today. So I'm Paul Roselli.
You could have come without my permission.
Oh, well, thank you. I love Newport. Been coming to Newport for as long as I can get in the car and drive someplace, and that was in the early 70s. So I'm running as Progressive Democrat for governor of the state of Rhode Island. My background is not as a politician. My background is in the environment and in social justice issues and in energy. And all of those are important today. And they keep on being important no matter the time of day, the year. We need to progress to a certain place. And I'm the one who can get us there. I grew up in Providence, in what's now known as the North End of Providence. It was a community of Portuguese, Italian, and Irish community, many of them immigrants, many of them first generation to this country, coming over places in Boston and in Ellis Island in New York, making their way to Rhode Island. The community I grew up in was typical of an Italian, Portuguese, Irish neighborhood. We had our own pasta making facility. We had our own bakery. There was a supermarket or a market known as Kachiri's Market, which is still there today. And I grew up there. I went to school there, everything from Branch Avenue Street School to Isaac Hopkins Middle School to Windmill Street School on the way to LaSalle Academy, and then two stints at URI, one as a B.S. in agriculture way back then in 1974, and got an M.A. in education in 1976. Over the last several years, many of you know that I've been an opponent and a strong advocate for new ways of thinking about electricity production in our state. We have some of the highest rates in the country, and we can bring them down, but our allegiance to the fossil fuel industry is causing us not to bring those high prices down. My campaign over these next several months that'll get us to the primary in September is one of inclusion. I want to make sure that all parties, all interests are represented. I want to be their voice. I want to be the one who gets up and talks about reproductive health care. I want to be the one who gets up and talks about new ways of thinking about energy. I want to be the one who talks about the environment. I've devoted my entire adult life to issues concerning land use, land conservation, the preservation of species. And I'm not shy of talking about the environment. Rhode Island is unique. There's no other place like it. Our our waters, our streams, our ponds, our rivers, our oceans, our bays. There, I've traveled the world extensively, and there is no other place on this planet that has the capacity for beauty, history, and potential. And that's why I'm running.
The 2 degrees from URI, and you're also involved in a program at Bryant now, I believe?
I am. At the ripe old age of 63 years old, I'm now 65, but 2 years ago I decided that I wanted to further my education. I believe in lifelong learning, and I believe that all of us should be given both an opportunity and a chance to make that lifelong learning possible. So I took the plunge. It took me a while, both financially and also time. Time was a big deal. But at 63 years old, I signed up for a course at Bryant University known as it's an environmental studies class on global environmental studies. Has a lot to do with policy, has a lot to do with land use and energy issues, and I am loving every second of it. It's one of the best things I've done in my adult life.
And your primary occupation over the years?
Yeah. So for the past 32 years, I've been an educator. I've also been a documentary filmmaker, and traveled most of the world, not all of it, but most of the world, working on projects that deal with healthcare, deal with food security, war generals, and a host of other topics. It's been a good career. I've done a lot of work for museums. Lately, I've done a lot of work for online programs. The University of Massachusetts Medical School has been a project that I've worked on. I've worked on most recently topics such as autism, and this latest one, how to make sure that social care workers clinicians are certified, and it continues to be a lot of fun to do that career.
So if we only have a couple of minutes until the break, very quickly, what are the three top issues that you're running on?
Sure. First and foremost, it's jobs in the economy, and everybody thinks that this power plant has to do with electricity. It's not. It has to do with jobs in the economy. That's number one with me, and I hope we talk about that a little bit more later on. Jobs in the economy is number one. When it comes to reproductive rights, women's rights, health care issues, and I mean health care issues for those people who are on Medicare like myself, Medicaid, the high cost of health care is important in our state. And also, we need a balanced budget. We need to look at the budget in all aspects, look at some of the things that need to be coalesced, condensed, try to find some savings there, but also think about just what we're doing with the money, whether it's giveaway programs, corporate interests, corporate welfare programs. We need to look at that as well. So those are the top three issues for me and the campaign that we are running.
So we're going to go to our first break. When we come back, I actually want to circle back to Invenergy. I want to get that on the table and talk about that. This has been, we've talked about this now for the last, 2-3 years this has been?
It's starting to get really old, but yes, it's almost, can't believe it, 3 years ago, August 1st, 2015.
Yeah, so we need to talk about that, where that project is out, what's happening in Scituate, which is a new development, and why does a town like Barreville need 2 power plants? And we'll talk about that when we come back, and we're going to go to our break.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island Army National Guard. Aired by the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association and this station.
Can be part of an Irish music tradition. Tune into the Irish Hour, brought to you by O'Neill Hayes Funeral Home, family owned and operated for 5 generations. The Irish Hour, Sunday morning at 8 on 1540 AM and WADK.com.
Napa Know How.
Napa Night Vision Premium Capsules are up to $10 off a pair. They provide some of the best nighttime illumination of any headlamp. And if you can't see how good of a deal that is, then it's time you did something to clear up that view. Like getting Napa Night Vision Premium Capsules for up to $10 off. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 3/31/18.
Is one of your goals to find a cleaning service for your home or office? I have the perfect solution, Steph Spotless Cleaning. I recently started working with Steph and her crew at both the radio station offices and in my new Portsmouth home. The staff here have been raving about how clean everything is and how personable Steph and her team are. So I decided to give them a try at my house. The results were spectacular. Steph uses an all-natural cleaning product line, and the smell in the house is incredibly fresh and clean. I think this experience for me has been pretty close to the old days of having a cleaning lady, someone who treats my home like it was their own, someone I can trust. I've been through the experience of hiring a service and seeing new faces every time cleaning day came around. Not so with Steph's. She shows up at every job, rolls up her sleeves, and makes the magic. And she's fully bonded and insured. Find Steph Spotless Cleaning on Facebook or contact her today for free consultation and 20% off your first cleaning at 932-6050. That's 932-6050. Steph Spotless Cleaning.
Jamestown's Information Station, 1540 WADK.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Presence, and joining me today is Paul Roselli. He is a Democratic candidate for governor in Rhode Island. He is a progressive candidate for governor, I guess the only progressive running for governor on the Democratic side.
That's correct.
Well, let me rephrase that. The only progressive. Well, no, that's not true. Because I would look at Matt Brown, who was running as an independent. I would think that I would put him in the progressive camp.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's certainly up to partially Matt Brown, how he describes himself and identifies himself.
Yeah. Matt is a former Secretary of State. The other independent is Joe Trillo, who is a former state representative who was Donald Trump's campaign manager or honorary campaign manager in Rhode Island. And then we have three Democrats, three Republicans, and we can't wait. Tomorrow's another day. We have more candidates. May have more candidates. But we're talking about issues, and I think that's one of the things that I find very valuable in a campaign is that you have an opportunity. It doesn't mean that they always do it. You have an opportunity to really talk about issues and to actually come down on different sides of issues. And if the winning candidate is smart, they look and listen to what their opponents have said and see what they may be able to win and the good parts that they see incorporate into what they do in the future. So the whole idea is to do what's best for the public. That's what I understood.
Well, I think that works.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Sure. And the corollary to that is to make sure that the best always succeed somewhere along the way. And
so let's get into Invenergy. You live in Boroughville. There's already a power plant in Boroughville.
Correct.
For those who have not had an opportunity to visit Boroughville, when I came to the Providence Journal, I worked in the Greenville office, went back there and managed that office for a while. I love Boroughville. It is one of the most picturesque, pristine, towns in the state of Rhode Island, mill villages and other villages and lots of forest. It shows a contrast between a place like here. And now Invenergy's coming in with, I think it's a $1 billion plant.
Sure.
Or the proposal is for a $1 billion plant, based on fossil fuels. And that's going to be very disruptive for the people in Boroughville.
Sure. So, and I think it's going to be very disruptive for the state of Rhode Island and the region too. First of all, we have to go back to what the premise is. The premise is that all of us are moving away from fossil fuels. That's the value. That's key number one. That's where we begin. We don't begin by saying we're going to build a power plant. We have to begin at the statement that fossil fuels are on their way out. We don't think that. We're not the only ones who think that. People in Boroughville or the people in Rhode Island and many of the municipalities that have written resolutions in support of that premise. We're not the only ones who think that. Regionally, ISO New England thinks that way too. You know, if you look at 100 years of electricity production, and it all started here in Newport, by the way, for Rhode Island. It was a steam engine that produced one of the first batches of electricity that went out along what they termed then a grid. If you look at that 100 years ago, you would think that electricity use and electricity demand on a graph always continues to go up. You need more. The demand is great, so you build more. A few years ago, all of a sudden, ISO New England, which if you look at that graph, always had that graph line going up. All of a sudden, it dipped. It dipped. It didn't stay in a positive trajectory. It started to not only level off, but in the case of the last 3 years, it's gone down. Our demand has gone down. The need has gone down, and the use of alternatives to fossil fuels has gone up. And I like to tell the story.
So is that the corollary? The fact that usage has gone down and the use of alternative fuels has gone up, and if you put them together, we're still at the level we might have been at?
We've actually gone down to the level we might have been at. So ISO New England does something unusual. Every May 1st of every year, they look 10 years ahead. And you can see this online, iso-ne.org. But you look at isonewengland.com or .org, and you look at the graphs, all the information's there. And you see, all of a sudden, there's not only a dip in demand, but there's a dip in use. There's an increase in alternatives. So the corollary is, do we need it? Do we need this power plant? Let's put it this way. Absolutely, positively, we need the electricity. The electricity is being met by a whole bunch of other different sources. We're no longer tied to a fossil fuel future. And that's important, not only from an economic point of view, but from a jobs point of view. So look at it this way. For the past 3 years, how many laborers have been utilized to build power structures? Any idea?
I don't have a clue.
Very few, because they've been waiting, because the permitting process is enormous, the political capital that has to be invested in some of these power plants and infrastructure, whether it be pipelines, wires, power plants, is enormous. The interest level with folks in Rhode Island and regionally has increased to the point of active participation. In other words, people running for office. You can look at me as a good example of that. So the time lag between actually and think about it. We've been working on this Invenergy project since August 1st of 2015. When our current governor said, we'll do everything we can to make sure your company in Chicago called Invenergy, that you're successful here. 3 years those laborers have been waiting to get to work. The process, permitting, and execution of actually installing any type of solar array, whether it be rooftop, ground-mounted, ocean wind turbines, is a lot shorter, and it's going to become a lot shorter because people understand it. This experiment that was off the coast of Block Island, these five turbines, was a good experiment. Yep, it cost a lot. Yep, they got all the kinks out. The second wave is going to be a lot cheaper. That's where our labor market has to go.
I mean, my assumption is through all these alternatives that it always, as you start to get the kinks out, it's always a higher price, and it comes down to something more reasonable. The solar
is now cheaper than any type of fossil fuel plant. So in New England, and you have to remember, this power plant or any potential power plant in New England just doesn't stay within the municipal borders. In other words, the electricity that they produce doesn't stay within the municipal borders. It goes elsewhere. And regionally, regionally, we've done really well with just rooftop-mounted solar. Just that alone has supplanted at least 735 megawatts of electricity. That's about the size of a power plant. So we've taken care of one power plant. The other thing we got to remember is there's already a lot of power plants all over New England. A lot of them are what's called these peak load power plants. In other words, they only turn on when there's a high demand. If we upgraded even one or two of them, we would be all set for the next 20, 30 years.
So, Paul, if we took a look at what the main objections are besides fossil fuels to this power plant, we're talking about the environment. We're killing off a lot of trees, right?
Right, correct.
And what are the other key issues?
Yeah. We've got to think about this as a social justice issue. Burrillville and the LNG tank, the power plant in Burrillville and the LNG tank in Providence aren't just aberrations. They're not just something that took place all in and of itself. These are coordinated fossil fuel decisions to get into areas that are both have low or weak government forces. There's a high probability of them happening. The communities are, at least initially, way back in 2015, are disorganized, don't have much power or influence. That type of racial injustice or fossil fuel or environmental injustice, I apologize, that type of environmental injustice takes place all the time. And now it's taking place at least two, maybe three circumstances and places in Rhode Island. The LNG tank in Providence, the place in the power plant northwest in Rhode Island, and a host of pipelines that are taking place in Rhode Island as well.
Now, Governor Raimondo has been a proponent of this power plant, and she has been because basically she's saying the jobs it will create.
Sure. So let's be clear on this, and here's the truth. And I have to preface this that I have to preface my answer with, I get categorized as being a one-issue candidate. But I think this issue relates to a host of other issues throughout Rhode Island.
Particularly. Yeah, so I'm going to break in for a moment. Go to Paul's website. I don't know that I've seen very many candidates who have as extensive a platform as he has, far more than one issue.
Well, thank you. It's paulroselli.com, and yeah, check it out. So this is not just a power plant or electricity issue. This is how we move our state into a future that's not dependent on fossil fuels, that utilizes all of the talent and skills that we have in Rhode Island. One of those talents is our propensity, is our desire to be more energy efficient. Our energy efficiency program is top-notch. It's probably one of the top two or three in the nation in terms of energy efficiency. Our desire to move all of our traffic streetlights into LEDs and a host of other issues, that's where the jobs are. In the end, this power plant, if, and I don't believe it ever will be, but if it gets built, will employ about 22 people, a few engineers, some maintenance folks, some administrative staff, and that totals about 22 people. We're spending, or somebody is spending, $1 billion for 22 jobs. Now, I'm a small business person, and I've been a small business person for a lot of years. If I were to even think about how I can maximize the amount of money I have in order to profit from my business, the last thing I want to do is to spend $1 billion for 22 jobs.
And you know what? I'm going to hold you there.
You bet.
It's a great place to break. We're going to go to our break. When we come back, I want to shift gears, and I want to start talking about jobs in the economy, healthcare costs, reproductive rights, and balanced budget. And then I want to circle back to, if we have time, back to Invenergy, and I want to talk about the community support and what's going on in Scituate. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're sick and wonder if antibiotics can help. Antibiotics can help, but they're not right for every situation. Consumer Reports and the Choosing Wisely campaign suggest asking your doctor a few key questions like, do I really need antibiotics? Antibiotics don't fight viruses like the common cold or sinus infection. Or are there simpler, safer options? Sometimes all you need is rest and plenty of liquids. For other important questions to ask about antibiotics, go to consumerhealthchoices.org/antibiotics.
Sponsored by the Rhode Island Department of Health and the Rhode Island Broadcasters Association.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, Esther, Liberty Mutual just saved me $782 on insurance.
Liberty did what?
I know. It's a lot of money, right?
What'd you say?
Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Visit us online to get a quote.
What?
I said visit us online to get a quote, and you can save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Are you still talking?
Barry's Discount Service Center. We offer free diagnosis on all check engine lights, and our exclusive Repair Now, Pay Later program allows you to service your vehicle today and pay 0% for up to 6 months. We have the least expensive labor rates in Newport County. We've helped our customers for over 60 years, and there's no better place to have your vehicle repaired and saved. Ask about our Barry Family Plan and save another 10% off our already discounted labor rate. When your new vehicle's warranty ends, that's where our service begins. Take the drive, you're worth it.
Barry's is proud to share the spotlight with these fine area businesses. At All Saints STEAM Academy, students collaborate, communicate, and create every day. Certified by Roger Williams University as a science, technology, engineering, arts, and math center of learning, they work hard to educate for wholeness and holiness.
Pick Postal for all your shipping needs. UPS, FedEx, and the Postal Service. Postal does it all, including custom packing. Whether you want the quickest shipping or the least expensive, they'll give you expert advice and great customer service. Aquidneck Ave, Middletown, or Bellevue Ave, Newport, next to CVS.
WADK gives you the information you need.
If you wait for the newspaper, it's old news. You know, you want to keep up to date.
On air and online.
Everything's online.
WADK.com.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Prazis. With me today is Paul Roselli, a Democratic candidate for governor. And I lied. Well, I didn't lie. Some other things came to mind. A couple of real quick things. Today we had the walkout by students across this country, nearly 3,000 schools participating in the walkout, 17 minutes to signify the number of kids and administrators, faculty that were killed in Florida. Lots of mixed signals on this. What's your impression of that?
Yeah, you know, active participation by students at all levels, I think, is not only appropriate but necessary. We should not shy away from current news events, and we as a society and as a people should embrace these types of exercises as learning opportunities. It's important to understand that all of us live under the same sun, under the same roof of sky, breathe the same air, and when situations happen, no matter where they are in the world, it impacts all of us. That was true when I was a kid, and it's even more true now with social media instantaneously making this stuff available. I know there was a walkout or some type of organized walkout at Rogers High School today. I know in the town of Burrellville there were similar walkouts. I know just about everywhere else in the state of Rhode Island. That's what we need. This is an opportunity for both educators, students, and parents to all talk about some of these issues and bring them home. That's where they belong. I remember during the 9/11 crisis a long time ago, that my two children wanted to know what was going on, and the three of us and along with their mother sat down and we talked about some of these issues of how we need to be more active in our community, how we need to treat each other with respect, and how we need to deal with situations like this with the destruction of lives and in New York and elsewhere. Having a walkout, I think, sends a good message. And what's appropriate here, what makes sense to me, is that we need to encourage this. Each one of us needs to encourage active participation. I mean, look at me. And I'm maybe not the best example out there, but I decided that at one point, many points in my life, that I had to get a bigger voice, that I wanted to become more active, became more active in environmental causes. I became more active lately in social justice issue causes. And now I'm running for the highest state office in the state of Rhode Island. And that's where I need to be, and that's where we need to be. We need to go from an active participation of students walking out to many of these kids later on growing up and running for office.
Yeah. I guess my quick take on it is when I hear people say that they should be spending time in the classroom, there's no better educator than them being a participant in the system and dealing with issues of the day and absolutely becoming an influence on a broader conversation. I think it's incredible. I applaud the kids who have taken part in it, and I applaud the school systems that have that some of them have encouraged it. Many of them have tolerated it.
Sure.
And I think that's excellent. So let me move on to a couple of other things. I wanted to get your take on that a little bit, and I have some other specifics if we get into it. But let's talk about jobs and the economy. Should we have them? Should we have jobs in the economy?
Should we have jobs and in the economy?
Should we have jobs? Joking. Should we have jobs and the economy? I think we should.
Rhode Island seems to be on the right course when it comes to creating more jobs. But if you look at the statistics, actually, there are a lot of people who have just decided not to get into the workforce anymore because the job market is not as robust as it should be. Let's be honest and clear here. Giveaway programs don't encourage anything except people with a hand out waiting for the state to give them more money.
So what do we mean by a giveaway program?
You bet. The ballpark in Pawtucket's a good example of that. The recent giveaway programs of companies coming into our state, in some cases $20,000 a job, for them to move into Rhode Island and set up shop.
So what we're talking about is Rhode Island, one of the strategies that Rhode Island is using is tax incentives to encourage companies to not only move into the state, but to stay in the state. AT Cross was an example of that.
Right.
And so that's what you're referring to.
That's what I'm referring to. Right. I think the small businesses here, and we are a small business state, need to be encouraged, motivated, with some cash or a reduction of some of the regulations. I think we need to go further when it comes to reducing some of those regulations. I also think that on the side of a minimum wage, we need to increase our minimum wage to $15 an hour. That helps both the individuals getting the money and the economy. I've got to remember that people spend money, and when they're given a little bit more, they spend more. And that's what we want. We want people to, in that economy, to be able to get those funds in whatever job they do in minimum wage, and then take those funds and move them to someplace else.
So if you aren't going to do tax incentives to encourage companies, what would you do to be able to grow our economy, bring more companies in, and help the companies here expand?
Yep, absolutely. So first of all, we need to use some of the programs we already have. We have an energy efficiency program that got scooped last year. 10% of it was scooped to help pay for the budget, $12 million. And it was scooped because Speaker Mattiello said it was being underutilized. But when I hear things like that's really disturbing. We need small businesses would benefit by a reduction of their electricity prices. Also, we have a cap when it comes to reducing those costs or taking part in programs at something called 200 kilowatts per hour. In other words, if businesses use more than that, they can't participate in the program. Let's eliminate the caps. Also, when it comes to small businesses, again, I'm a small business, and our rates actually, when I first started to incorporate was very low in Rhode Island. It's gone up appreciably over the last few years. It's now leveled off, and I can't remember what it is right now, but it's leveled off. We need to get it back to where it was 20, 30 years ago. It should not be an issue when it comes to people who want to incorporate. Also, we got to move our workers from a worker-based economy to an economy that moves those workers to become business owners, business leaders, and entrepreneurs. And what that means is in training, that means in our education needs to move people to be business owners, business leaders, and entrepreneurs. On learning how to write a business plan, how to incorporate. Also, when it comes to co-ops, most of the initial investment comes from individuals who want to open up a restaurant or open up a beauty salon or open up a bank, for goodness sakes. And gosh knows, over the years we've seen a lot more banks coming to Rhode Island. But for all of that, it requires an enormous investment of personal capital. In a co-op strategy, especially when it comes to using funds collectively, we can create more of a distribution type of environment where funds investments for those particular businesses are distributed evenly to a wider group of people. And when we do that, I think we create an atmosphere. And if we can create that atmosphere throughout the nation, we become a mecca. We become a place that just like long ago, 100 years ago, when the first steam engine was in Newport to create electricity, we can start working on new engines, electric engines to move ferries, remote control software to remove both goods and packages, whether it be through vehicles or whatever it is. So if we can create the atmosphere here that we're a robust, friendly business environment with a reduction in fossil fuels and a reduction in our energy cost, I think we'll do really well.
One of the things that I learned when I was editor of the Business News was that when companies were thinking about relocating, among their top concerns was the environment in which their top employees would live. And so those decisions were usually made in a corporate boardroom by two or three people who would take that into account, whether or not that's someplace that they wanted to put their top executives. And some of that, Rhode Island has a lot of that to offer.
Rhode Island has one of the highest nonprofits for land conservation in all of the New England states and just about anywhere in the nation in terms of our population and our size. And there's a reason for that. There's a lot of people here who love their special places. Even places like, and I don't mean for it to sound this way, but places like Barrington. I remember going to Barrington as a kid way back in the 60s and 70s. You look at Barrington today, the number of trees and the forest canopy has grown appreciably because people love that area, and they want to stay here, and they want to retire here. When we start sending our wealth and our experience and our people to places south to go to retire, all of that wealth, all of that experience, all of those skills leave our state. We want people to stay here. And the way we want people to stay here, even on a snowy day like it was yesterday, because of our environment, I'm a member of a host of different environmental organizations as well as other organizations. And our environment is key here. Rhode Island historically has approved open space bond referendums to the tune of almost 70%. Places like Central Falls and Block Island vie for first and second place when it comes to approving open space and recreational bond referendums. Block Island, because they want to preserve the places they love. Central Falls, they want to preserve the places they don't have, but they go there on weekends and overnight visits and camping and taking the kids out to actually put a fire on a campground and roast marshmallows. And
you know, I'm going to hold you at roasting marshmallows. we're going to go to our last break. When we come back, I want to shift gears to reproductive rights and health care, and hopefully we also have time to get into budgetary stuff. And we will be back in a couple of minutes.
It may not feel like it. It may not look like it. But it does look like spring at Ben's Furniture.
stop by soon and see countless new items that have sprouted up at 166 Thames. New sofas in bright and colorful fabrics. New slip-covered sofas in nautical and cottage prints. New bedroom sets. New dinette sets in sizes sure to fit any space. Ben's has new chairs and recliners. New desks. Even brand new mattress collections starting at just $3.99 for a queen-size set. Discover new accessories like rugs, pillows, wine racks, and wall prints. About the only thing not new is the longtime Ben's tradition of quality, service, and value. Ben's Furniture, now into their 76th year of serving the Newport County area. Ben's, 166 Thames Street, downtown Newport. Open Monday through Wednesday from 9 to 5, Thursday through Saturday 9 to 6, Sundays noon to 5. Browse online anytime at bensfern.com.
When the team at 3G Broadcasting needs a creative way to get our message out in print, we call Helen at Minuteman Press. Minuteman Press in Middletown is Mix 99.3 and WADK's official printer. Business cards, forms, stationery, posters, and even our Broadway Stroll playing cards designed and printed by Helen and her team at Minuteman Press. Visit them at 687 West Main Road, call them at 619-1650, or go to middletown-ri.minutemanpress.com for more information. Minuteman Press Middletown, the official printer for 3G Broadcasting. Make them yours today.
Sakuchi Honda's Dream Garage Spring Event is back with bigger and better savings than ever before. Special deals on brand new Fits, Civics, Accords, Pilots, CRVs, and HRVs. Sakuchi Honda in Middletown or online at Sakuchi.com. The best deal made easy is closer than you think.
Whether you're a corporate CEO or the owner of a small business, tax time is especially busy for you. Tax accountant Janice Heyman says here's one thing you probably won't have to worry about this year.
The business deductions for the self-employed, small business owner, corporate entity, LLC, partnership, they are remaining the same, those deductions.
But with the new changes in the tax law, filing next year could be a lot different. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
A good tax preparer can help you save on taxes, but real saving starts long before you file. With the new tax laws, decisions you make year-round can impact what you pay. The right financial planner makes all the difference. Hearst Financial Independence Planning has been advising clients on taxes and more for over 30 years. They take the time to listen to what's important to you and then help you make the right decisions. Call 508-636-3595 or go to HIRSTFIP.com. Advisory services offered by CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
In the spirit of the green, how about a little saving of the green? Our favorite leprechaun, Seth at Fifth Ward Liquor, is ready to help you do just that. Fifth Ward's Irish flavored values include John Sullivan Irish Whiskey at $21.79, Bailey's Irish Cream 175s now $39.99, Baru Vodka 175s $20.99, Murphy's Irish Stout in 10-pack cans $11.99. The Irish spirits are plentiful at Fifth Ward Liquor. Harp Lager in 6-pack bottles, $7.99. Newport Storm Irish Red Ale, 6-pack bottles, $9.35. Look for the Guinness Variety 12-pack, only $16.99. Jameson 750 is now $29.99. Also in stock, Jameson's 18-year-old Gold Reserve and Blender's Dog. Don't forget, Fifth Ward will be open St. Patrick's Day, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Fifth Ward Liquor, $6.95, Lois Thames.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better take the fifth.
And welcome back to Open Forum. My name is Frank Prozitz. With me is Paul Bruselli. Paul, if you want the band, if you want to bring them out with you, to any of your campaign events, they might be available.
Might be a good idea. Sure, bring them on.
One of the things that we have legislation that's been introduced by Edie Ajello from Providence and a number of other people that would make, essentially, in a nutshell, would make Roe v. Wade the law of the land in Rhode Island as a protection, if you will, in fact, if it is overturned in the Supreme Court. And just there are laws on the books in Rhode Island that are archaic, and if in fact it's overturned on a state level, you would be amazed at what would be allowed in the state in terms of prohibition of reproductive rights.
Right.
You mentioned that, and you mentioned health care costs.
Yeah, and the two are intimately tied together. First of all, reproductive rights are human rights. We don't have an advocate in the State House for reproductive rights. women's rights. We don't have an advocate in the State House. We need an advocate. I can be that advocate for women's rights when it comes before the state. Yes, absolutely. We need, first of all, we need to have a hearing. We need for the House and the Senate to finally realize that enough is enough. This is the year 2018. We've had a couple of hundred years of history when it comes to pushing women aside, whether it be through voting, workers' rights, health care issues. Enough is enough. We first of all need to have a hearing in both the House and the Senate. Second of all, we need to pass that legislation. It needs to move beyond the committee level. It can't go for further study, which is the death knell of any piece of legislation in any committee setting. It needs to get out of committee, go to the House floor, and people take a stand. Let the House and the Senate reps take a stand. Vote how you think is best for Rhode Island. And then, after that vote, we'll see what happens. If we continue down this path, my hope and my wish is that a law like Jello is putting forward that passes. We need to establish that, particularly under this environment, this federal environment. Every day, someone is getting kicked out or dismissed or resigns.
I heard that in the White House, they've now put a revolving door in.
Revolving door. Well, a revolving door gives the sense that someone new is about, but it's the same old people. So I don't know. It sounds. Anyway, when it comes to reproductive rights, that's where I stand on that. Healthcare. When it comes to balancing the budget, we shouldn't balance on the backs of Medicaid, of people who are paying Medicaid or who have Medicaid.
I mean, there was a proposal out there in the governor's budget. I think it's still there that people who are on Medicaid would pay a copay for their medications.
Not only medications. So you got to go down the list. It's not only for medication, but it's non-emergency visits. It's a host of other issues. So even though we think of these things as being small, in other words, a small copay of $3 or $7, for someone who might be challenged by some challenges with money or economic progress, that's a huge portion of their budget. And to have something like a $3 or $6 or $7 copay for any of those things, especially people on Medicaid, is atrocious. Also, what happens in other states when other states put in laws putting copays on Medicaid recipients is that these people decide not to go. They decide not to go for a visit to the doctor, not to go to the emergency room, not to go to get medication. And that relieves the state of actually paying for the full boat, the full tab. So you might think, well, what's the big deal? You know, So they only pay $3 or $7. Okay, I get that. You know, it doesn't seem like a lot of money, but in the end, what the state is banking on, what the governor is banking on, is that these people just don't go. They don't go to the emergency room. They don't get the medication. They don't go to their primary care physician, and in doing so, the state saves a lot of money. That's the problem with that.
But actually, in the long run, they spend a lot of money because when people don't get the medications they need, do the hospital visits or the doctor's visits that they need, they are more apt to face more catastrophic illnesses.
That's right. So at some point the piper has to be paid, right? So at some point, because of lack of medication, lack of some preventative care, now they're in the emergency room and the state pays enormous. So we're not being proactive in this area at all.
When the Affordable Care Act came in, one of the benefits, one of the big benefits that individuals may not have seen, was that it virtually eliminated the uncompensated care portion that hospitals pay. That meant that the amount of money that hospitals were essentially, the costs they were incurring for people who came in without insurance. And that was in the millions of dollars.
Millions.
I don't know that the system actually worked. That savings should have somehow been passed along, But the fact is that when you start taking that away, and when insurance becomes harder and it's this whole mess with healthcare, uncompensated care becomes a factor again.
Sure. And let's go back to what healthcare is all about. Healthcare should be on the prevention of, rather than the dealing with. So the prevention of diseases. So that means maintenance. That means normal doctor's visits. That means screenings. Those types of preventive not only saves lives, and that is so important when it comes to anybody, no matter who you are or where you are, but also becomes important for the state to learn to understand that the savings occur in the prevention part of it. If you wait till somebody gets sick, we're going to lose all the time.
So, Paul, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left, so I promised that we would circle back to Scituate and what's going on
sure.
with Invenergy. They have a vote coming up on Thursday night. And that is to rescind their previous vote.
That's right.
Which was to oppose the Invenergy plant.
So the way the resolution was written long ago, I think it was a year ago, or almost 2 years ago now, the town of Scituate decided to write a resolution in opposition to the power plant. The new town council has decided that that's no longer valid. They want to rescind it. They want to take that resolution off the books. Why they're doing that is up to conjecture. We don't know why they're doing that. It might they say it's because the lame duck town council voted on something that the people should have been allowed to vote on. They say that it would be too expensive through litigation. My read on this is no matter what they're thinking, they're still going to be involved. They're going to be involved in the court.
And we have virtually, it's almost every other community has been, am I correct?
33 towns and cities in the state of Rhode Island, including Scituate.
And how about Newport?
Newport has not.
Okay.
Newport is one of those cities, and it was intense lobbying. And you've got to remember something about this. This is not something that was just off the cuff here. There was intense lobbying, presentations, letters with each and every town council before they came to the conclusion that it was beneficial to them and the state to oppose this fracked gas fossil fuel power plant in the middle of the woods in northwestern Rhode Island. That's what it took to get each and every one of these towns to oppose it, including the town of Scituate.
And the some of the other issues involved, water, in which they were, I don't know, is Johnston still on tap to deliver the water?
So it's still in litigation. The new Superior Court judgment, Judge Silverstein, came out a week ago or so, and I might get the date wrong, but he came out saying that Invenergy could be allowed to present discovery. In other words, they can present witnesses, they can present expert testimony in this 1918 law that gave the city of Johnston the right to sell water outside their municipal borders. So Judge Silverstein said that. So guess what, Scituate? You're going to be involved.
So we are down to our last few seconds, Paul. I want to thank you for coming in. We'll have you,
Frank.
We're going to have you back because this is an important election.
This is great.
And terrific to have you. Thank you for coming in.
Same here.
We're going to catch up with everybody tomorrow. And who knows what we bring tomorrow. I can't remember, but I know we have something. So we'll visit with you again tomorrow. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Open Forum. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of station management or its advertisers. Your views and opinions are welcome at 846-1028.